Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Danger money for Danger Boy! He's a world champion! Jed Lawrence, the SMX world champion!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Title 24, presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael. My co-host, Ryan Villopoto. We're in studio today, but before we get going and tell you where we're at, we got to thank our sponsors, United Motorsports, Boxo Tools, and Quad Lock Case. Great partners. They've been along with us for the ride all season long. But, dude, we're in studio today. Tell everyone where we're at. This place is great.
Yeah, you know, Richie Lane that helps me with social and all the back end and a bunch of Title 24 stuff too. We're at United American Mortgage Corporation. Richie Lane, this is kind of like his bat lair right here, you know. So we have some really cool cars, motorcycles. There's a Ford GT500 over here. So he's given up his space for Title 24 for us to be in studio together.
Massive thanks to Rich. Rich does a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff for Title 24 with RV. And, I think, a lot of people know Curly or JH. We call him Curly, but he's basically your JH, if you will. But he does a good job. So thank you, Rich, and everyone at United American Mortgage Corporation for hosting us today. It's fun. But, man, what a weekend. There's so much to talk about. I mean, from your first impression, like, did it turn out the way that you thought as far as the results go? Let's just for talking purposes, 450. Do you think that, what do you think?
Yeah. You know, I think, we had some amazing racing. I mean, it was high intensity. I was telling a lot of guys that, hey, respect this track because it is so easy in a way that it's, the trannies of the jumps. There wasn't major rhythm sections. I mean, we saw a lot of guys go down in some very simple sections on the track. And I think it's kind of like Phoenix. I always remember going there with Randy Lawrence, and first as a lights guy, he's like, hey, respect the track. This dirt, it can bite you. The track is, you know, like you'll be sailing along real nicely and it'll come around and bite you. And I thought that's kind of how LA was. So man, looking at it, Jet rode phenomenal. Really like pulling that quad out and, you know, stepping the game up there. Everybody followed, everybody jumped on the coattails and had to jump it. I thought just the whole weekend was huge. There was a lot of buzz. The vibe was really epic. I thought it was great. It was the LA Coliseum hosted and it was a perfect scenario, and that's exactly where they should have had that race.
Yeah, it was for sure. Great venue. A lot of things happened. I know from, a broadcast standpoint, there was so much energy. One of our bosses from NBC was like, dude, you guys are crushing it. And you could feel it. My voice was shot halfway through. But I'm with you. And I go back to when we were at the Coliseum, last October for the release of SMX. And when they announced what was going to happen, I honestly didn't think it would have turned out as well as it did. I mean, when they came up with this idea, I think it's everyone's goal for the championship to go down to the wire. Last race, last moto, like who's going to win it, like winner take all scenario. And I don't think that they could have scripted it any better. I really believe that. And yeah, it was a great weekend all around, 250, 450. And I think that what we will see in the future is I think the SMX is going to continue to grow and be more and more important. What I am interested in to moving forward for the SMX is, what is it going to do to like the Monster Energy Supercross Series and that championship and the Pro Motocross Championship? I do think maybe not next year, the year, couple years down the road, that maybe the SMX World Championship title might trump the other two championships. What do you think about that? And I know it's so hard to forecast, dude, but that's what I'm thinking.
No, I 100% agree. And this is, you know, I know anytime you start a new championship like this or start anything new, you know, it takes a year or two, you know, for things to kind of catch on and the ball to really start to move. But honestly, with the money that's up for grabs in the 450 class, $1 million on the line, there's 500 in the lights class. This is going to take precedence. This is going to be the next Supercross in the Holy Grail. And I think it might take 1 or 2 years for that to kind of, you know, things to maybe a few little rule changes, a few tweaks here, a few tweaks there. But ultimately, I think you will have Supercross and call it, that might be like a, I don't want to use the word regional, but like, I think there will be a championship for those 17 rounds of some sort. But ultimately, like the Super Bowl of motocross is going to be the SMX rounds. And that's how it's going to be.
Well, it's like, basically like the Supercross Championship and the Pro Motocross Championship is almost like, to relate it to stick and ball, it's like there'll be conference championships. And then you have the, you have the national championship, which in our case would be, World Supercross Champion or Super Motocross World Championship. So yeah, I think it will. I don't know if that's going to happen next year. I don't know if it's going to happen the year after, but regardless, I think it turned out better than anyone could have ever thought. So
I 100% agree, and I think, look, with the emphasis that they've made and the venues they chose for, you know, Charlotte, Chicago, and LA Coliseum, I mean, I'd love to see us go back to LA Coliseum. I don't know if it's feasible for those guys. I know that just the setup there, obviously, being that it's on you know, college campus, it's not really set up for us, but I loved that they went there and at least had that hype around, you know, LA Coliseum, Paris style, where Supercross had really started. So I think that was really good to have, you know, on the inaugural season. But I also think that, you know, like you said, you're going to have Supercross, you're going to have motocross, but with the money and the emphasis that's on the line for the Super Motocross World Championships, it is going to go that way. I hope to see it that way. And it switch, take the Holy Grail of Supercross. It's now going to become, you know, SMX rounds, and it's going to keep these guys racing Supercross and also racing outdoors because they need those points. So it really encompasses everything and moving them to that top spot.
Cracking into the race, like just an overview, like we always do on Title 24, the 450 class, winner take all scenario. I know we've talked about that between Kenny, Jet, and Chase. Overall, what would you say one of the bigger takeaways was outside of, I mean, Jet was a favorite for sure, but was there one thing that sticks out in your mind where you weren't expecting? Like, was there one takeaway for you?
I thought it was fairly, you know, kind of fairly straightforward. We knew that Jet and Chase were gonna have, you know, go head to head. And like I had said earlier in the day, Kenny was my dark horse pick, flying kind of under the radar. Jet worried about Chase worried about Jet. And, I think Kenny rode a hell of a race, was right there the whole time. But Jet just got those guys in Moto 1. And if it wasn't for Chase's, you know, crash in Moto 2, it was coming. The clock was ticking down. You know, it didn't, to me, look like Jet was really reeling Chase in. And then obviously he went down.
Yeah, I agree with you. I it's not a surprise for me to see how well Kenny did. The guy's super talented, as you know. I will say this. I do feel like, and I had a chance to talk to Johnny O'Mara yesterday, and I was I thought Jet's bike looked like crap. I thought like the small, tight areas, the hard pack stuff, it was really twitchy. It had like no forgiveness whatsoever, in my opinion. So he had his hands full. But as you know, your bike's not always going to be great. So he handled it for the position that he was in. I think he handled it phenomenally. I hated to see Chase go down. I mean, really, dude, that was on him straight up. Hate to call it like it is. And we're watching. This is Chase. He has a pretty good lead, just cruising at this point. And then he's going to the outside of the sand section, and that it was getting super rutted right there. So not sure, RV, you said maybe you thought that he grabbed his foot peg going up that really rutty takeoff. Yeah. You can see, like you said, the sand, is that what you think happened?
Oh, that's what I think happened. I think he came down there and he, as it goes left, he obviously, and then you got to make that transition with the bike go right. You see all the sand coming up off of his bike.
So gnarly.
I think he might have grabbed the foot peg a little bit, you know, and definitely just slowed the rotation down enough, because it wasn't like it was, you know, because it's sand, it wasn't clay. So it wasn't like it was an abrupt, you know, stop and then over the bars. It was that slow rotation. So I'm wondering, with all that sand that came up, you know, obviously if you just drug the, to me, it looks like he drug the foot peg and it got that rotation moving forward and, you know, put him down. But dude, was a slam.
I mean, like, dude, straight on the face mask of his helmet. And I haven't heard, is the dude okay?
I haven't heard either. He got up, he was all right. But man, it definitely hit his head. And that's why these guys are so gnarly, right? Like, when you see these crashes and when you see, you know, these guys take the hits they take and still get up and walk off the track, like, that shows you what kind of athletes they are. Also the mental toughness and just the determination, grit. Like, dude, when you hit the ground at that speed, we're a different breed. Let me tell you.
We were talking how well Kenny rode, and it's really not a surprise. Super talented. It'll be interesting to see if he can come into 2024 with that type of intensity as he did. And he's certainly leaving this, you know, this year off on a good note. Let's see here. Great question. NJP, we appreciate you, dude, all season long. You've been in and sending some questions. He's like, starting at season with a sorted bike, will Roczen be a title contender? And before you give your opinion, I think he's always a title contender. I think he's going to be that much more comfortable on the bike, having a little bit more time on it. But at the end of the day, I think Kenny's biggest challenge is going through the whole season. So what's your thought on it?
That's kind of been Kenny's, you know, kind of gig, right? Kind of starts off, I think he has some of the, I think he might have the most Anaheim 1 wins out of anybody, you know. So he starts the season off strong. I'd love to be able to, you know, sit on this side of the table and be like, dude, we're going to have Kenny also in this mix for 17 rounds. I'd love to see it. It seems like his riding, I don't know if I've seen Kenny's riding, you know, from, I know he only did High Point and then he came out and did these last three SMX rounds, but if you add those four races together, the consistency and the Kenny that was showing up at all four rounds, I know he didn't do it the whole season. So that's a big difference. But I feel like if he can get into this mindset, get into this zone that he's in right now, I'm not saying he's going to win, you know, the championship at the end of 17 rounds, but if he can do what he's showed us the last four weekends, I think he's a guy that in the mix, race wins and playing a factor in these points at the end of 17 rounds.
I know that a lot of people, and I was thinking about this last night, just kind of getting my mind wrapped around what we talk about today. And I don't think a lot of people noticed, and I didn't until I thought about it last night. Jet Lawrence came in lower in the points than maybe he might in the future. Granted, he doesn't have any issues next year, because if you remember, you know, he only raced the 450 for the motocross series. So he came in, what, I can't remember what he came in, seated like sixth or seventh. So really he overachieved for the most part. He came in, he spotted those guys, you know, a certain amount of points. So if you're looking at it and you're really digging into, you know, okay, how can I be better next season? it's going to be harder for the guys going into the playoffs and the championship, assuming Jet does what Jet does. So a great job by Jet. I hated to see this, and I wanted to ask you what you thought happened with Barsha. That was a gnarly lick, dude. A gnarly lick. He comes out. I think he would have had a good shot to win that moto at least. And you know how hard he is to get by. You got to give him a little bit of extra room. What do you think happened there? Wrong gear, just a mistake. Like it was slippery, from what you could tell. What do you think happened?
Yeah, you know, looking at the video and you know, the replay, it looked like it came out of that turn. You know, made a really good pass on AC. You know, really smart, was able to hang up, and then AC kind of knew it was coming, so he went up high and didn't want to get in that scuffle with Barsha. But I think because of the line entry of the turn, he was so tight up against the hay bales, because AC kind of went inside, and then Barsha was and then he went up underneath of him, split the last second, and ran him high. Maybe came up out on the left side farther than he was used to, and then with his body position sitting down and probably not the drive out of the turn, and was on the throttle more than past times, and a little bit of wheel spin plus where his body position he was, it just kind of unloaded on him. I'm going to say a little bit of tire spin, body position, and not having the drive out of the turn maybe as much. You know, with those 450s have so much power, you don't necessarily need to execute the turn right. You can twist the throttle, but when it's an ice sheet like that on the takeoff, as we saw, the track was very technical, very slippery. It might've just spun that tire up. I'm going to say it did.
You know, going to, you talk about these tracks, and I saw some buzz online about the hybrid track. And I feel like you and I talked about this, you know, before we were doing this recording, about how sometimes the easier tracks are the ones that jumps up and bite you. And I personally feel that it's that way because maybe guys aren't as focused as much. Why do you think it's funny to me? And I want to know your opinion. Like why do dudes crash so much, or there's gnarly get offs on tracks that are easy? Like if the track is so easy, then why these guys crash? Why do you think that is? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I had talked and said that actually a couple of times on Saturday. I say, be careful, watch the track, because it is an easier supercross track. The trannies of the takeoffs are pretty mellow, so you can really charge into the jumps. Just for example, like I know they made a change on the before the stadium triple. It was where Jet was quadding on, and then you know everybody followed his coattails, and they started quadding on. But previously on Friday, that was just a triple on. And then you had like Parker Ross that was in the futures class. He nose picked it, went over the bar. Seth Hammaker nose went too far and went over the bar. So scenarios like that, when it's easy like that, you can push really hard. Like you got to respect the track. And I think, you know, looking at it, like it sometimes hard because you can push the limit on these tracks, but that's the one thing that like, you've got to be precise. And I think they let their guard down because it is so easy. And it can bite you. I remember Randy Lawrence at Phoenix, going there as a lights guy. He's like, pay attention to the track. It can bite you. And I'm like, dude, the track's easy. And he goes, that's the problem. You know, it's a bit slippery. You put yourself into a situation where maybe you go deep or you go short, and then you give it, you know, you get back on the gas harder and it get tight wheel spin and you're not expecting it. So that's what I saw from the Coliseum, was really slippery. It really wasn't that technical, very basic rhythm sections, but they were hauling the mail. I mean, the speeds were very high.
What do you think about like none of the tracks having whoops in the SMX? I know you like whoops. We talked about it early on in the Supercross season when that was kind of the big talk about whoop size and there needs to be more continuity. But like, dude, you know, I wasn't a whoop guy, especially later on in my career. I liked the track without whoops. Do you think that they need to have a whoop section?
Honestly, I think that having whoop sections is really going to separate the field, and that's what we're trying not to do. I think, like, you know, guys like Chase, Kenny, Jet, for example, like, you know, put Christian Craig in there, and if he was riding the lights class and you put him in with whoops, like, he's destroying the field. Now you take the whoops out of it. for what they're trying to achieve, close racing, keeping it interesting to the fans, the way the points set up is, you know, 25, 50, 75. We want these races to, or these riders to go down to the last race for the championship. So I don't dislike not having whoops. I think this is, we're starting a new trend, and that trend, or that idea is coming to life. And that is super motocross, and super motocross is is racing without whoops in a stadium. Motocross, supercross mixed, that hybrid setup. And that's what LA was. It was more on the supercross side, but with that sand section, I mean, guys, I bet you they were doing close to 50 coming off of that jump or chase crashed.
I didn't realize they were going that fast. I mean, I knew it was fast. Well, I can tell you that, dude, there's no way you can argue that the racing wasn't good in the hybrid tracks. 100, 120%. I saw Zach Osborne, he tweeted, he's like, dude, tell me why we couldn't have 30 hybrid tracks. But the racing was good. I know it's hard to pass and all that fun stuff, but at the end of the day, dude, you know better than anyone, good guys find a way to get it done. You watched plenty of guys this weekend make passes when they needed to, especially Kenny. I think Kenny made the most passes. His starts were a little off par. Definitely not a weekend where you don't want to have your starts on par, but nevertheless, it was good. You know, I think we all get beat up sometimes in the media, not even the media, but the keyboard warriors and stuff, about how we just praise Jet too much. But this was an opportunity where he could have failed, and he's answered the bell, dude. He's answered the bell all season long. So I think the people that razz the others about, you know, how much praise we give him and not showing enough love, it's not about we're not showing anyone else love. The guy just is pretty phenomenal. I mean, his back has been against the wall many a times, and he answered, dude, he steps up every time. I mean, I think his bike sucked this weekend. I already said that, and he made it happen. So I don't know. I think everyone's going to have their hands full, but I'm excited to see what happens. And, you know, and anything can happen to him too. You know, he's a one little, you know, twist away of the ankle, and, you know, an injury could happen or whatever it might be, but I don't know. It was pretty.
Yeah, to your point, I think he has been. He rose to every occasion, right? He showed up at Charlotte, you know, off settings were off. Something that we had not really seen from Jet. Like, okay, settings one thing, great, but like, I feel like he should have been able to ride a little bit better than that, even with an off setting. You know, he's at that caliber to be able to do that. So I think that was a poor performance from Jet at Charlotte, and then turned around, backed it up, like backed himself into a corner at Charlotte, came out on top at Chicago with the wave of the pass that we've all discussed. Everybody, you know, had their opinion on that, but still ended up on top, and came in hit LA Coliseum. Same thing. Like, you know, he held it together. He rose to the occasion. Like, there's, you know, like you said, there's going to be a lot of haters out there. There's going to be a lot of people that disagree with us or anything else that's out there that they don't like to hear. But man, the kid has really been on fire all year. You can't say anything about it. He's rose to every occasion that's been in front of him.
Prove us wrong, right? That's what I'm like. Come on, guys. Like, prove us wrong. It's non-negotiable. The guy's bringing it. It's going to be exciting to see next year, Supercross season on a 450, him and his brother, for that matter. It'll be interesting to see how he handles it. I think it'll be tougher for him. I think also that other guys are going to raise their game to his level. I think that he is teaching guys how to do certain things and take their ability to the next level. You mean, you take a guy like Eli Tomac. Eli's never raced him. So maybe now I think it's twofold. I think Jet can learn a couple things from Eli, and I think that Eli can learn from Jet. Now, I don't know where, and it brings me back to when I was racing Stu, there were things that I learned from him and I could kind of emulate, but at the same time, there was things that I didn't want to do because I wasn't willing to take that risk. And I wonder if Eli will be the same way. He'll learn some techniques in the way that Jet does things, but I feel like if there's a gnarly quad, I don't know that Eli would want it want to take that chance. I don't think that he has to. Well, I mean, do you agree with that?
I do. Well, so this is what I think. I think that we got to get Eli back into the mix, but I also think that I'm gonna go back and say that this is probably going to be Jets' easiest year to win a championship, right? And why I say that, not on the rookie side, because that's obviously there's a lot of learning with that side of it, but he came in, I feel like, you know, not knowing what to expect, like, you know, as a rookie in the 450 class. Now we know, like, where he stands, where he's at up on the leaderboard. He's the guy to beat. Now with the target on his back, is he, I think this next season coming into Supercross, I think that is going to add some added pressure. Okay, I got to keep this going. I got to keep these wins coming. I got to, you know, I got to hold up to what I just did, 22-0, won $1 million, you know, SMX World Championship, like win. And now obviously every year, I mean, I think it got harder for me every year. Like I think that one of the easiest championships was my very first one because I kind of didn't know what to expect. I had good people around me to get me to that position, but I was, I think 2, 3, and 4 were the hardest ones as it went on to keep it going to, you know, once you win the first one, it's like, okay, now you have, when's he going to lose, you know? And if he wins next year, great. But the added pressure for year 3 to come back and do it again. And then year 4. So I think this championship, what we saw, so, you know, from outdoors to SMX, I think those are the easiest ones, and I think they only get tougher as they go. They did for me.
Before we go to the 250, we love to answer some questions here. So let's see here. Blake from Australia, Trent Maxwell, Robin Bystrom from Sweden. Twofold, it looks like. Chase losing the front end again. Does this carry over, or will the KTM chassis and ability to run the stiffer suspension he want help him? So I guess basically what they're asking is he going to have the same situations on the KTM as he did at Honda?
You know, I think that he very well could. I mean, it's a completely different chassis. I mean, we're really pulling things out of thin air right now. You know, we don't know. Complete different chassis. Motorcycle. I mean, it's something that, you know, I don't know if he's ever rode, you know, I mean, I know he's probably rode the KTM, but real seat time on it. You know, I think that his mental, you know, he's looking to leave that team, you know, like he's already checked out. Not that he wanted to leave Honda, but he's checked out the Hunter and Jet, you know, their Hunter's moving up. That's their kind of their team Honda. Right. So, I do think that it'll be a good change for him, but I don't think it's going to fix his problems. And I do think that, I know that he mentioned front end, but personally, I thought he caught the foot peg there. Still a mistake on his part. He should have known that rut was getting deeper. The amount of speed you carry into that, this suspension compressed, you know, like you have to be aware of those things. Right. So, that crash at LA, that would have happened on a KTM or a Honda or any other manufacturer. Because if you grab your foot peg on any one of those bikes, that's what I believe happened. That's going to happen on any manufacturer.
There you go. Well, it's easy enough. Yeah, I agree. I can't remember what episode we talked about it, but it's not trying to be negative and just being honest. I can't see it being much better other than the mental side of things, which that certainly helps. I don't know how that bike is going to be that much better and it's going to be the magic answer to where Chase is just going to start going out there and dominating all of a sudden and not making the same mistakes that he made this year. I hope that he does. I think it'd be great. Why? Because it's going to give us great racing, something to talk about. And dude, he's talented. But I'm to the point where, dude, he's going to have to show us that he is better. The bike is better. And, you know, you're just going to have to do it to prove to me that it was better.
Yeah, I think so. And what I think too is maybe it's just it's the same recipe, but just with different ingredients put in at different times. And maybe that's something that KTM can provide for Chase, you know. You know, it doesn't have to be A to Z, right? Maybe we're going to mismatch a little bit. We're going to put some things in a little, you know, in a different order. You know, I think that I don't think the bike's going to fix, you know, his problems or the problems he's had in the past. I think And I personally think the problems in the past, a lot of them, I know we got confirmation that he had an option to run a part for outdoors and he didn't, and he felt like that hindered him in the long run. Very well so could have played that part. But I do think that, you know, no matter what manufacturer it is, he's got to fix, you know, his little mistakes. And it's his little mistakes, just like what we saw at LA. It wasn't, he was running a perfect race, and then he came down the peristyle into the sand, and just whatever happened leading into where I think he drug foot peg, that's, you know, what happened. The manufacturer's not going to change that, right? It's going to come down to him just being a little more aware of surroundings and paying a little more attention to, you know, things, track development, where guys are, whatever the case may be, whatever's making him have those issues, he's just got to be more aware of it.
Dude, I go back. We gotta find that clip where you were talking about it, and on one of our episodes, we'll get our producer to dig back into the files. And we talked about this. You said it. It's like, dude, be aware. Be aware of, you know, like where you're at on the track, what you can get away with, what you can't get away with, and, you know, like, and stop making these mistakes, because if you don't know what's happening, the mistakes are going to happen. And I feel like it's a broken record and we're just repeating ourselves. So I hope that he does. I mean, I feel like he knows what he needs to do. He just needs to execute. Got to thank our sponsors, United Motorsports, six locations through Ohio, Kentucky area. Great company. They're building up, and great people over there as well. Ray Butts, we talked about it. He was on a ride last week. Just a great guy. But check them out. They, like I said, they got everything that you'll need online. Boxo USA, they're just down the road from where we're at, by the way. They got an awesome warranty program. It's awesome. Talk about that all the time, but I like their tools. They have like this this foam, and the tools go in the foam, so you can put it in the drawers, and when you're going riding, stuff's not going everywhere. That's always nice, so it keeps it super organized. And of course, Quad Lock, they are on it. Whatever you need for your phone cases, bike mounts, mountain bike, adventure bikes, you name it, they're a great company. So we appreciate all your guys' support, and if you want, always remember, Title 24 is site-wide through all of those brands. You can get save yourself 10% off. So make sure you check that out, and you can use it for 10% off. That's your promo code, Title24. So thank you, guys.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Switching gears into the 250. I think the first thing, rip the Band-Aid off, is Hunter. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't even know he crashed on Friday until I got to the track Saturday and was going through some stuff and looking at some elements for the show. That was brutal, bro.
It was really, and same with me. Like I think we were both just slammed because of this event and how much was going on with it. But yeah, I didn't know Hunter, you know, had that crash on Friday either. And then I kind of heard about it. And then he did ride practice. You know, he did ride practice and must have tweaked it again in practice. So, you know, total bummer to see. That was a bit of an upset, you know, because man, I thought most of the hype, most of the excitement, or all of the excitement, or the big part of it was the lights class with, you know, Hayden obviously coming home with the SMX World Championship, you know, in the 500,000. And then all of a sudden you got Jordan Smith jumping up into the program, you know, after first moto, only 3 points out of winning, you know, and Joe having a great first moto ride. You know, there's a lot to talk about here.
Ton to talk about. Ben Watson, we'll start with Hayden gets it done. Ben Watson, how do you feel about the SMX playoffs? How do you feel like they are for rookies? We saw that with Hayden Deegan did. But what about the others? Is it good or bad? Do you think that the playoff situation is good for rookies?
I don't see it. Hey, it's motorcycle racing. Any gate drop is a good gate drop at that level. And you know, the SMX is here to stick around. I mean, I personally thought it was. I like the format. I like two motos. It's not going anywhere. So as for rookies, like I do think it's good. Can you imagine running that pace? Running that pace with a set of whoops, right? Like, you know, I think that would, this is the best scenario they have to learn under these lights, under these circumstances, without a big old set of, you know, 3 foot, four tall, you know, 3 or 4 foot tall whoops, where then they're adding that into the mix also.
I think that, I don't know. I was talking with Stu over the weekend, and, dude, I kind of noticed it at Charlotte. I feel like Hunter was checked out, dude, like for the playoffs. And maybe it's just from everything that he went through in the Monster Energy Supercross series, you know, collecting his first championship in that. And then again, then he wins a Pro Motocross championship, which there was a lot happening. You know, he was hurt, and then Hayden was coming on strong. So a lot to deal with mentally. But I just feel like I go back to Charlotte. He wasn't happy. Go watch. I think everyone, you know, listening or watching this podcast, go watch Hunter's, you know, his reaction on the podium or his interviews for the most part in Supercross and Motocross, and watch his tone and how he was. He was just a little more energetic. And I feel once we got to Charlotte, he was a completely different guy. His tone wasn't like it was. He was just sad, and it's almost like he was irritated that he had to be there. I'm not saying that's why he got the injury and that's why he wrecked, but at the same time, I don't feel like he was in it maybe like he should be. Did you get that sense like he wasn't digging the whole SMX vibe?
Well, I think the definitely the vibe I think changed coming into those last three rounds. Like I think from, you know, we know what Hunter dealt with all outdoors, you know, ribs. I mean, the guy didn't have a seamless outdoors. I mean, for a couple first-term pileups. Redbud, for example, was a gnarly one. I mean, I think he missed a moto. I believe that first-term pileup caused him to miss that moto. Yeah, so the highs and lows of you know, this sport, and then keeping coming back and fighting for that championship spot, and then ultimately getting it is. I've been in that situation, and I'm not saying Hunter was in that situation, but man, it's like when you're done, the balloon gets popped, right? Like good or bad, and it ended up good for him. He won the outdoor championship, but still, it's a massive, like, you know, release of pressure, you know. And I think turning around in a week later, you know, coming out and having to still put it out all on the line, it is a lot. So maybe he was feeling that a little bit. I think that I think if Hunter wouldn't have hurt his back, I think he would have been right there in the mix. I mean, he's a fighter. He's in for the long haul, but it's a lot. You know, these guys haven't, you know, raced full series like this probably, you know, a Supercross, Motocross, SMX, you know, it's a lot of racing. And I think what's different from Europe is they ride outdoors only, and that's all they ride. It's one thing. It's one discipline. And I think when you add another discipline to us, into our racing, plus a third now, because not that SMX is different, but it's another championship. It's another championship on the line. That's a lot of pressure, because no matter what, it's three races. You know, you're Hunter Lawrence. You want to come in, you want to show your best, and you want to win. So that's like the third time it's racked up on your shoulders to start a series and start it off strong and finish strong.
Well, another thing too is not only that, now they have Motocross of Nations coming up, and then they're doing Bercy as well. So now you keep stacking. If he was over at SMX, he better get used to it, because like I said, he's got MXON coming up, Paris, and there's not going to be a lot of time. And then on top of that, throwing in, he's making the switch from 250 to 450. But I want to ask you something about this. You talked about like Jordan Smith did great. Levi Kitchen, he's a Pacific Northwest guy like yourself. What do you think a guy like Levi Kitchen needs to do to, like, if he doesn't get the hole shot and he's not in the lead? Like, it's so weird because you and I weren't like this, so I always try to get into their mind and think, like, what the hell, like, why can't you ride like that when you're not in the lead? And I try to wonder, like, how would I help him? And I don't know that I can't help him. Like, what do you think he needs to do?
Big fan of Levi. I also look at Levi, like, I was watching him ride. I watched the broadcast yesterday. And, man, he reminds me so much of Kevin Windham when he rides. He's like the new age Kevin Windham.
Didn't he ride at K-Dubs at some point? Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, he did. But, yeah, for me, like, I watch him. He's like the new age Kevin Windham, where he really gets the scrubs down. Not that Kevin didn't, but it was, you know, Kevin's getting up there. You know, it wasn't like he was the doing the Bubba scrub the best, right? Like, we, you know, but Levi, I feel like he's the new Kevin Windham. And I don't know. Like, he goes out second moto and puts on a clinic, right? And rides phenomenal and knocks down the wind. But you just came from, you know, the first moto and not anywhere where he wanted to be, you know, not really up front, not where he wanted to be. So I think, you know, Levi's obviously making a switch. He's heading over to Monster Energy Pro Circuit Kawasaki, you know, and maybe that's what he needs. Personally, the kid has the skills. He's one of the most talented riders I've seen. What he can do technically on a motorcycle. His technique could be maybe a little bit better in certain scenarios, but he is a taller guy. You know, like, when you're taller like that, look at Kevin's technique, for example. Like, like, he did some stuff really, really good, but he also was kind of long and lanky, elbows down scenarios. Like, you know, like, just a little bit different of a riding style. But personally, I think he needs to get his head straight. Like, I think it's just a mental game thing with Levi. He's got the skills.
That 8 inches in between the ears is a trick. That's a tricky thing to get sorted out. There's no doubt. Before we get to the 250 SMX world champ, Hayden Deegan, Joe was in it. I thought that he was the fastest guy throughout the SMX playoffs. You know, I think that he got hot when it counted, you know, like towards the end of Pro Motocross, and he brought that tempo into to the playoffs and in the world championship round. I wonder, like, what happened, or do you have any insight? Like, I don't know. Like, he didn't have the fire the last moto when it counted. He couldn't reel Deegs in. Like, what happened there?
Yeah, he rode a phenomenal first moto, made actually quite a few passes, got himself in position to win the championship, you know, the SMX World Championship. So, second moto was a little bit of a letdown. You can see that on his face too. I don't know if he wasn't gelling. I think I had heard somewhere on the interview or, you know, somewhere presser or something, where it seemed like they had kind of fixed up the track, and it seemed like the track was a little easier for everybody to go that speed on, compared to moto one. Don't know if that was it, but it was something that he didn't really rise to the occasion that second moto. I mean, it was right there in front of him, you know, but Hayden was able to put on a flawless performance. And Joe just didn't have that little extra. He needed that little extra. And once you get that little extra, obviously you can bridge the gap. And we've talked about with Kenny and Jet at Chicago. I said this on RDL. I said, you know, that one of the questions was, would have Kenny passed him? And I said, personally, I don't think Kenny would have passed. I said, it's one thing to bridge the gap up to somebody. It's another thing to pass them. And when you're passing somebody like Jet, or vice versa, put Jet on Kenny, if they would have been running that pace, it would have been hard for Jet to pass Kenny. You know, these guys are smart. They're intuitive. They know where these guys are going. You know, if I know Kenny had that amazing line at Chicago around the outside, but same thing with like, go back to Jet or Joe and Hayden, like, you still got to get through the guy. And that's one of the hardest things. I mean, we watched that, use Dunge for example. He could always catch the guy, but he had a problem passing, you know, the guys in front of him.
I It is hard to, yeah, it is hard. That's one thing, catching him and then getting, it would have been interesting to see if he could have, if he was going to, he was going to have to use some elbow grease. I liked the intensity and the aggressive move that he put on, giving Hayden the business. It was right before they went underneath the tunnel. And listen, there's a lot of money on the line. There's a world championship title on the line as well. So you would have to expect this. And I was having another conversation with Johnny O last week. I know, kind of going off script here, but you think about the battles and the rivalry that has formed between Hayden this year and Hunter, but you never really saw, as big as the rivalry was, you didn't see a lot of aggressive riding for the most part, like not every weekend banging into each other like you would think. So that just shows you, like, you know, like how much chatter goes on online on the on all of the on Vital and all that stuff and on the boards. But then I was looking, like, dude, I didn't really see them run into each other a whole lot. And anyhow, so going back to that, was a good move by Joe. I was surprised. I thought that he was going to catch Hayden, especially what I saw from Hayden the first moto. But then I hear that he had you know, he had some arm pump the first moto. But nevertheless, dude, the 250 SMX world champ, Hayden Deegan, got the job done. You know what? He's another one of those guys. He's like Jet. People hate to hear us talk about him. He made it happen. He made it happen. I think he's around to stay. I think he's great for the sport. I like watching him. He's always been cool to me. I have no reason not to like him. I respect him. And, like, your initial thought on him, Did it surprise you that he won?
No, it didn't surprise me. I think Hayden has rose to every occasion. I think Hayden had probably one of the hardest, the biggest shoes to fill coming in. I mean, the only other one, and they're complete opposites, but the only other person that has come into our racing with this kind of hype would be Mike Alessi. And we kind of all kind of had seen how that all played out, you know. When
did you believe the hype, bro? Did you believe the hype in Millville and whatever that was?
No, I didn't believe the hype. I didn't. And the hype got slapped down at Bud's Creek once we went, you know, in the lights class. But Hayden coming in and answering, you know, answering to either the haters or his fans. Dude, that was a really hard position to be in. The kid had a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and he answered to it. And yeah, you know what? I think that what we're seeing in our sport is a change, and I think a change for the better. And why I say this in character wise, we have AP that plays his character, and it's got huge fan following. You know, and he's not a winner yet, right? And he's building a huge audience. You got Hunter and Jet that are changing the game with this, you know, so their whole program, how they, you know, they're really elevating our social platforms and you know, marketing. They're two very marketable riders. Same with Hayden. Like, I think coming in with that pressure, that hype coming in, like, roles reversed. He totally botches it, right? And then we're like, oh, what about this, what about that? Like, he had all this pressure, I knew he wasn't gonna make it, blah blah blah. Well, dude, you can't take it away from the kid. He has answered and rose to every occasion. And the biggest thing, I think, from a rookie, consistency. Like, he and he hasn't hit the ground that much. Like, yes, he has hit the ground, like at Charlotte, we, you know, he caught the inside foot peg on that roller and went down, and it was a pretty good one, but nothing crazy. Got up, was still in the mix, bit sore, but the kid shows up every weekend and leaves it all out on the track. And I think that is where, that's what we see the difference from him to some of these, you know, some other riders that we've seen come up in the years past, is you got to leave it all out there on the track. And he's done that. And I think as a whole, he couldn't have had a better year as a rookie. I mean, sure, I guess he could have won the outdoors, but, he got a championship to his name and the SMX finals.
Did you expect, did you think he was going to launch the bike? That's what I was waiting for. I thought that it would be tough for him to do that with his teammate in front of him. And that dude, that jump was 10 times bigger than what his dad launched his bike on. I mean, that takeoff was steep. So it would have been tough to do that. And that bike would have went into orbit. But did you think he was going to launch it?
I didn't really know. I mean, you never can know with these kids today. And, you know, obviously it would have been kind of cool to see. But I think, like, he kind of didn't know he won until he pulled up in front of mechanics area. And, you know, because of the point situation, like, how, what better scenario could you have of it going down to the last laps, and, you know, and you have Hayden cross the finish line and, you know, have an inkling that, did I win? Did, you know, is it over? Is it me? Is it? And that's what, to me, it kind of looked like, which is really cool to see. He didn't even know that he won until, you know, he pulled up to his mechanic and, or in front of mechanics area. And then it all kind of sunk in. And then that's when you saw the excitement and the celebration.
Yeah. I thought he was going to do it, but to your point, you're exactly right. When he came over, cause I was kind of peeking, I was looking over the monitors, and yeah, I don't think he knew that he had won it. He was like, wait, what's going on? So it would have been cool to see it. I think, just the marketing behind it with his dad, and if he would have done it, it would have been pretty cool to see that. But nevertheless, he didn't do it. Quad lock question of the week comes from Jay Wilmoth 592, and Jay asks, "Do you feel your riding styles changed throughout your careers, brand/slash class?" That's a great question. I want to answer this first. I feel like you've been doing all the talking. Your voice is already shot. I don't know that. I do think that my style changed a little bit, but I also think one of the reasons that it changed is, number one, I learned to ride a little bit more within my limit. I knew how to set my bike up to be, you know, a little more comfortable and safer. And with my bike being set up more comfortable, I was smoother. I didn't work on really changing a whole lot in my style. I really didn't. I mean, like, what I had is what I had, and I feel like that was one of my attributes, you know, so I didn't want to change that. I just think that I got a little bit smarter with my riding and line choice and Johnny helping me. So, I don't think my style changed much with certain bikes, just maybe setup and things like that. So, that's me, you know, and I think the older you get, the more efficient you get on the bikes as well. And again, it goes back to, I wasn't trying to change my style. You just get more experience. How about yourself? I mean, you only, you know, you rode Cowie your whole career. So really the bike brand wouldn't apply to you. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think as everything evolves, like, and that's one thing I will say on here is I'm not opposed to, or I'm not, I'm against changing somebody's riding style. I think at a certain age, you know, I think you can critique things, but I think, you know, I can go back and watch YouTube videos of me when my first year on a 450, kind of, you know, loose, ragged, young, not kind of aware of everything that could happen. And then as you get older, you get stronger, you get fitter, you get more refined. And I think your riding style changes, but slowly in increments that, you know, that just make you a stronger rider. Like if you go back and pull up early footage of you at Cowie, you were a loose cannon. And then you go and pull up footage of you on a Suzuki, very similar riding styles, but way more refined. Better looking on the motorcycle, you know, more precise. And that, I think, is just that, you know, that's you getting smarter, you getting stronger. And I think that's what we see. And that's what I felt like, you know, going out, even, you know, first 09, you know, not knowing really what to expect on the 450, thinking it's going to be easy, just like the lights class, all, you know, it's not the case. So, you know, I think that riding styles can be critiqued, and I think they change for the better. I don't like somebody coming in, oh, you need to, you know, raise your elbows up, or, you know, stand up through the turn now instead of sit down. Like, if you would have told Dunge that, you'd been like, you know, you're not changing Dunge from sitting down in a turn. And Dunge sat down a lot, you know, compared to most riders. little bit taller, lankier legs. He had, you know, he had his bike to, his bike was a lot livelier than mine or yours. Yeah, exactly. A lot more lively than yours. And so I think that, you know, you can critique things, but you're not getting done to say, okay, now you're going to, I want you to ride like Stefan Everts and stand up through all the turns, you know?
I agree. Jay, we appreciate you, sending in that question. That was a good one. I haven't really thought of that really until that question. And I never changed it. Similar. You just become more refined. You know what to expect. Your bike gets a little more comfortable for you. You know how to set it up. So good stuff. You know what to do. Just get at, Title 24's Instagram page, direct message us, and we will put you in contact with Quadlock, and they'll get you set up, with some swag. Make sure when you get it, tag Quadlock and us, and hopefully you like it. I'm sure that you will. You will not be disappointed. I think as far as the whole SMX, like shifting gears, I guess like putting a bow on 2023 SMX World Championship and just the season in general. What was your overall view, takeaways, things that you loved about it or liked about it, things you didn't like about it, maybe where it could be better? Like as an overall, what'd you think?
I thought Feld, Pro Motocross, everybody did a phenomenal job getting this thing up. I mean, guys, like, you know, I know that you guys, you know, our listeners, and viewers, you know, like, look, I know you don't know what goes into the back end of these events. And to be honest, I didn't know it either. And now that I'm on the other side of this, I'm doing RDL, I'm in these, all these meetings, like Ricky has been now for the past probably 10 years, you know, that you've been doing it. It's the amount of talent that they brought out for, you know, the announcers and the venues that we went to, dude, it was a huge undertaking. You know, what I liked was, you know, LA Coliseum, the hype, the vibe. I mean, it's here to stick around, the purse money, all the way down to, you know, even 22nd, you know, these guys are getting paid out with these scenarios. Now there's not to say everything's perfect. We're going to work on Feld Pro Motocross is going to go back to the drawing board, and they're going to say, okay, well, we executed this perfectly. We could be better here. You know, like for Chicago, for example, like I would have liked to see the track go up onto turn two and three a little bit more to slow it down, but still make it more outdoorsy, a little more flowy instead of so straight. So like, look, there's going to be a lot of things they're going to go back to the drawing board on and think about and probably change. But all in all, I thought it was an amazing last three rounds, or, you know, whole year, for example, you know, whole year, but the last three rounds of SMX finals, they did a phenomenal job. You know, and I'm looking forward to, you know, honestly, this is it. This is the new, you know, Supercross Championship. It really is. These last three rounds, the way the points are set up, like I think it is here to stay. It's going to stay. And personally, take it from me. If you don't want to take it, that's fine. But I think it's the way, it's the future. You know, I think it's good for our sport.
100%. I mean, dude, I basically echo exactly what you said. For sure, it's going to be more refined. I mean, I think myself personally, it went better than I thought it was going to go, especially the point system. I understood it, but not as clearly as I understand it now, and it worked absolutely awesome. I mean, you couldn't have scripted it any better. Like a three-way tie or winner take all three-way for 250 and 450 for the most part, and it coming down to the last moto also. I mean, the only other dream scenario you could have is coming down last moto, last lap, last corner. Right. I mean, so like anything, it's going to, there's some things that are going to take some tweaking. I know it's a long season. I don't always think that it's going to be 31 races. But to get to where we needed to get to this juncture, you know, it is why it is that way. But to your point, it's the future. I think the biggest thing for me, what I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out is what the Monster Energy Supercross Championship looks like, and what that Pro Motocross Championship looks like, and how it's going to take precedent, what's going to take precedence. I think that the SMX World Championship it's going to be the crown jewel. Just when is that pendulum going to switch? Is it going to be next year? Is it going to be the third year? And that's really what I'm excited to see. I think that the playoff system, the points, all that stuff is going to continue to get better, 100%. We already know it's a proven fact. It works. We saw it. We watched it happen this year. I just wonder when that pendulum's going to switch for the other championships. That's kind of what I'm looking to see.
Yeah, exactly. And what I think, you know, and there might be some you know, people out there that aren't going to like what I say, but I personally love outdoors. And I know I was an outdoor, we call it outdoor specialist. You were an outdoor specialist. You know, so I'm not taking anything away from outdoors, because I do, and they need to stay around. I could see maybe a little bit of an abbreviated schedule of outdoors. And I'm just literally pulling this out of thin air. Maybe like an 8-race outdoor, true outdoor, you know, pro motocross outdoors. And then the fillers would be these super motocross races at NASCAR stadiums or bigger platforms where that can house this. And why I say that, and why I would like to see that. Now there's a lot of political stuff inside of that, you know, things would have to come together, obviously, with pro motocross and supercross. But I think having the stage set at these NASCAR facilities or drag racing facilities, having these press boxes, having these places to go, this is the next step that we have to take to get into the next upper echelon of, you know, notoriety and being that, you know, up on that bigger stage and bringing bringing other outside big sponsors involved into our industry. We need that.
Boom. I agree. My man, bringing it home. Everybody, we appreciate the support this year. We're not done. We're going to have some fun little episodes in the off season, try to line up some interviews, give the boys some time off, some RV and I some time off, take a couple weeks reprieve, like I said, and get some guests on the show, talk to some of these world champs, hopefully. So all you guys, Deegan, go ahead and get ready for it. Jet, get ready for it. And but nevertheless, yeah, I think we should have some guests on. What do you think?
That's right. I think from all of our listeners and viewers, like hit us, you know, send us a DM, you know, what listeners would you want to listen to as fans, you know, that guests to bring on the show, somebody outside the industry, but that's still tied to the industry. Like, you know, like, let's think outside the box here. I know we're going into I don't want to say a long off season, but we're going into our off season. And before you know it, January 7th is going to be on our doorstep. But you know, like you said, Ricky, we're going to have some of these, when we have a lot of downtime, probably talk about, obviously, Bercy or, you know, some of the different things that are out there, and motocross and nations obviously will be one that we do. Yeah, guest wise, you know, what would you guys like to see? You know, would you like to see Richie Lane up here talking about United American Mortgage Corporation? You know, I don't know. Like, you know, we can bring in different people that you guys want to hear. I don't know. Maybe it's MotoGP, F1, you know, let's see if we can pull any strings.
I know who I don't want. I don't want to hear from Curly. I don't want to hear from Curly, Curly Leal, J.H. Carmichael. I don't want to hear from him, but definitely want to hear from Rich Lane. Rich Lane, United American Mortgage Corporation, thank you for hosting Title 24 today. But yeah, like RV said, dude, reach out to us and tell us what you guys want or what you think would be cool. I mean, we've learned a lot from you guys. You guys have brought awesome questions. Some things that we haven't thought about, and it gets our mind occupied and thinking. I think we can speak for both of us on that, and we want to give you guys what you want, and we're always open to suggestions. Might not always like them, but we're definitely going to listen to them for sure. But thanks for the support along the way to United Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, and of course Boxo. We appreciate you guys. We're going to continue to grow this. Yeah, we'll be having some more episodes as well. Thank you to all the viewers as well. We appreciate everything. And always remember, you can check us out. We're on demand on Peacock. So you can go back, watch old episodes if you want. I mean, Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page. We can watch there if you want to listen. We're on all the podcast applications as well. So thank you very much. Again, thank you, Rich Lane. We appreciate you for hosting us here at United American Mortgage Corporation. Awesome background. I want to have a damn party here. Maybe we should have a Title 24 pre-party. Anaheim won. Kick off the 2024 season. Have some people here and some guests. Maybe do a little VIP action. Just spitballing right now. But we appreciate it. We will see you guys soon. And thanks for tuning in today.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.